To the Wednesday night edition of the Voice of Believers Church, where we learn how to overcome and win in life. Who likes to win? Who likes to lose? Who's paying attention? Amen. Well, here we come to get fired up again, back to 212 boiling point, on fire for God. Amen. Being out in the world can cool you off, huh? Well, we get ready to take up our tithes or offerings. If you need an envelope, raise your hand and one of these young men will bring it to you. But I'm going to talk about Psalms 68:19, and it says this: God daily loads us with benefits. And then he's talking about our covenant benefits. Or another translation says, our support day by day. Another version says, our daily bread. And then in Psalm 65:11, it says, you crown the year with a bountiful harvest. Even the hard pathways overflow with abundance. Isn't that great? In fact, in the Darby translation, it says, he will make our journey prosperous. In the Greek, it says it'll become a good road. I like the sound of that. Or a prosperous journey. I like this even better, bless you. To receive help along the way. I know I need help. Amen? See, we have the right to prosper in Jesus. Now, that's the key. We need to be in Jesus. When we're not in Jesus, we don't have it. Because Jesus is the one who paid for it. He paid for us to have the right because he is our source in Jesus. He paid for it, and so we can put it on our master's card. I got that, huh? Or we get a bill, and we can say, God, you got mail, because he promised that he would supply our needs, didn't he? He would supply all our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus if we're in Christ. Who's in Christ? Amen. That's right. And you know, it's not because we deserve it. None of us deserve it. It's because he loved us and we accepted his way of salvation. We accepted his sacrifice. Isn't that good? And so we haven't been given pressure. That's not of God. We haven't been given poverty. That's not of God. That's of the enemy. God wants us to provide for our families. And so I would suggest to study all the promises of prosperity and provision and know that Jesus paid for it. He met the requirement because we couldn't. Isn't that great? He's so good. And in Philemon, verse 6, it says this. I love it in the Amplified. He was praying in the letter, and he said, I want you to have full recognition, appreciation, understanding, precise knowledge of every good thing that is ours in Christ Jesus. Isn't that great? We need to know because we need it. Especially when the world is following after the enemy, we need to depend on God because God's kingdom is never going to run out. So we need to get hooked up with the right kingdom. Amen?
Amen?
All right, you ready to pray over any tithes or offerings? All right. Well, Father God, here we are. We come and we present our offerings and our tithes to you. You said when we do that, Lord, in Malachi 3, that you would open up the windows of heaven. You'd pour out a blessing so big there wouldn't even be room enough to take it all in. We'd have to give some of it away. You said that you would rebuke the devourer from touching our stuff and destroying the fruit of our ground, and all the nations would call us blessed. You said that when we give, it'll be given back, full measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men bring into our bosom. You said we can believe for the 30, 60, or 100-fold. There's even scriptures for 1,000-fold. There's even promises in your word that says it's according to how much you believe. There is no limit. So, Lord, I'm in agreement with everyone here for all their needs to be met in abundance, overflowing, and for everything that they're believing for. We agree for that in Jesus' name. And all who agree say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, the boys would be kind enough to take up the offering. All right. Any other?
Sunday morning we have.
Why you?
I can do this.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. All right. Sunday morning we have the Gideons coming in. I'm trying to remember his name now. He's from Atlanta, Texas, and he's going to come in and he's going to share some stories about what the Gideons have done and how they, you know, every hotel you go to, just about that I know, most of them have a Gideon's Bible. That was Monica's first Bible, and it's not stealing if you take one out of the hotel room. You can have, they're there for people to take. And they've given over 1 billion Bibles away, I know. And it's 100%. And I don't want to steal all his thunder. 100% of his testimony, 100% of it goes to get the Bibles out. Every one of the Gideons I've ever known are businessmen. They own their own business or something like that. And they travel in their own vehicles. Their gas money is paid by their own paycheck, their own business. And the Gideon's, the Bibles, 100% it goes to the Bibles, praise God. And that'll be Sunday morning. And youth and children can dismiss, praise God. And we're going to finish up on here. We're going to finish up on the Abrahamic Covenant. It'll be the fourth part of the series, Abrahamic Covenant. And then, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. And then when we get done with this, we're going to bring them back in. They're going to do a play about David and Goliath, praise God. We've been working on this play, and I've been working on the play. When Monica preaches, we started this play back in, I think, May. Started working on the play about David and Goliath with the kids, and we've been working on it quite a while now, so we're finally going to get to do it. It'll be a blessing. All right, turn over to Genesis chapter 17. We're going to talk about Abraham, which his name was Abram. Abram did not have the Spirit of God in him. You couldn't be born again until the new covenant. That's the blessing of the new covenant. So Abram didn't even have the Spirit of God in him. Genesis 17, 1 through 9. This is the Abrahamic covenant. When Abram was 99 years old, see, God had... When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. And I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. Then Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be called Abraham. For I have made you the father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you, and I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generation for an everlasting covenant, to be your God to you and your descendants after you. Also I give to you and your descendants after you the land in which you are strangers, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said to Abram, As for you, you should keep my covenant, you and your descendants, after you, in their generation, in each generation. Abram was from the land of Chaldeans, of Ur, and his father worshipped idols, and he just trusted God, the God that created everything. And God come spoke with him and told him to get out of your country and leave and come to this land called Canaan. And that's where modern-day Israel is right now. Told him to come and go there. And he made a covenant with him. Before that, you know, there's very few covenants with God. You know, Noah had a covenant with God, and there were some others that had a covenant with God before Noah. But Abram had established this covenant with God. He made this covenant with him, and he changed his name from Abram to Abraham. Now he can walk around. He's the father of many nations. See, when God first connected with Abram, he was 75 and Sarah was 65. And Abram was childless. She was barren, Sarah was. And here they are, wanting a child. He wants an heir. And not only did God has promised him an heir, but he was going to make him the father of many nations. And can you imagine that? And God actually come to him one other time and said, Your children shall be like the multitudes of the stars of the skies, and be like the sand of the sea. So whenever Abram was now is walking around, he could say, hello, say, my name is Abraham. I am the father of many nations. He's got something to work with because God told him that. He looks at the stars and he says, my children will be multiplied like that, like the sands of the sea. There's faith. Faith was and righteousness, it says, was imputed to Abraham because he believed God. He trusted God and believed God. And actually back in, we've already talked about this. Like I said, this is the fourth series. We're going to close it up here on the Abrahamic covenant. That in chapter 12, 2 and 3, that God had spoke the blessing. You're blessed wherever you go. You know, you shall be a blessing and people will bless you and so forth. And it wasn't, you know, before you know it, he was exceedingly wealthy. Abraham became very exceedingly wealthy. And this same covenant transitioned into the new covenant. It went from the old covenant into the new covenant. Because he's called the father of the faith. Abraham is father of the faith. And it actually says, you know, let's look over at Galatians chapter 3 where it talks about that. Where you can see it, it's in the new covenant now. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. So you're no longer under that curse that God gave Moses. Why? That having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. So Jesus become this curse for us. That way, that verse 14 says that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So Jesus took the curse, our sins, and everything on the tree. That's what the Bible says. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that you might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So at one time, before you made Jesus the Lord of your life and got born again, you were a Gentile. And Gentile means without covenant. You're a person in the earth without covenant. And once you give your life to Jesus, everything Jesus has is now yours. Everything Jesus has is now yours. You're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. As he is, so are you in this world, praise God. If you're in the Word, you're doing his Word. You're as he is. Right then, when you got saved, everything he got becomes available to you. Healing, blessing, salvation for your family. All these different promises are immediately yours. That's why Monica was talking about it, the MasterCard, you know, our Master Jesus Christ. Because, hey, I have numerous stories and testimonies, and other people do too, of how Jesus has blessed us, how Jesus has taken care of us, and so many other people have too, how Jesus has supernaturally healed me twice. This is all that part of that covenant that being born again brings to you. It's a blessing. It's a blessing. Now let's hurry up and get over to 2 Kings 6:17. I gotta hurry because we're all right. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 17. Then Elijah prayed, Lord, I pray you open their eyes that they may see. And the Lord opened the young man's eyes, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elijah. All right. So there was God's angels. These horses and chariots were there. A fire round about Elijah. Elijah was the prophet, the man of God. He was the man of God that was doing the will of God. Now let's go over to verse 8 in the same chapter. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 8. Let's read what happened here to cause this to happen. When the king of Syria was warned against Israel, after counseling with his servants, he said, in such a place shall be my camp. Then the man of God sent to the king of Israel, saying, beware that you pass not such a place, for the Syrians are coming down there. Then the king of Israel sent to the place of which Elijah told and warned him, And thus he protected and saved himself there repeatedly. Therefore the mind of the king of Assyria, that's the Israel's enemy, was greatly troubled by this thing. He called his servants and said, "Will you show me who of us is for the king of Israel?" So he, you know, he's wondering. The Syrian king is like, who is telling Israel where we're going to be at to attack them? All right, verse 12. One of the servants said, "None, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet, who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedchambers." He said, "Go and see where he is." This is verse 13. He said, "Go and see where he is," talking about Elijah, "that I may send and seize him." And it was told him, "He is in Dothan." So the Syrian king sent their horses, chariots, and great army. They came by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God rose early and went out, behold, an army with horses and chariots was around the city. Elisha's servant said to him, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" See, Elisha's servant was getting fearful. But Elisha answered, "And fear not, for those with us are more than those with them." That's good news, y'all. That's good news. Then Elisha prayed, "Lord, I pray you open the eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the young man's eyes, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. So one man of God, God had all his angels, chariots of fire and horses. That's what they look like, protecting this man of God. Well, you know what? There's millions of us now that are Christians, that God has his angels out there protecting. They're out there not only protecting, watching over you. You're believing in God for protection. They're the person that you prayed for, that your kin folks, and you prayed to the Father in Jesus' name, that, and you're standing on promise is over there in Acts 16:31, that your whole household shall be saved, and you're thanking God for it. Well, God's have sent out his angels. And I know the demons are trying to stop it, and the devil is trying to stop it, but God's angels are going through because your prayer of faith is going in there, and they're speaking to that person. They're leading them, and next thing you know, they turn on the TV, and there is the gospel being preached about Jesus, the good news. All right, you're a son or daughter of the Most High God, and you pray and believe for a job, or those provisions, and you know what? God's angels are out there making that covenant come to pass. Why? Because he has to. His word promised these things he would do these for you. Why do you think they based the whole Constitution of the United States off the Bible? You ever heard of the Bill of Rights? It's based off the Bible. You have the rights that God has given you. Most people don't know they have the rights that God's given them, the promises God has given them. But there's this Bible's full of them. Do you know that the Word of God, there's more scriptures in the Word of God about prosperity, blessings, finances, the management of finances, than there is even of salvation? Now, I did not say it was more important than salvation. Salvation is important, very important. You got to get saved. But there's that many scriptures in there how God tells you how to manage your finances, how he'll bless you. And this man, Abram, was exceedingly rich. He was a source of God's blessings to everyone around him. Praise God. And that's what I feel like everybody wants to be, is a source of blessings to everyone around him. And God blesses his children. And, yes, you know, he makes sure you have seed for the sower. It talks about that. That's why I'm a cheerful giver, where it talks about that in 2 Corinthians 9:8. Because, you know, he's looking for someone that'll sow seed to be a blessing, because then he can get the seed back to him. He'll just keep ministering that seed back to him. Because this blessing, praise God. So this is just one of the ways God uses, and that's his angels to bring in your blessings to take care of you. Hallelujah. Look at Ephesians. Let's go to Ephesians. Ephesians, please. Chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. I'm going to read this first out of the Amplified. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. A lot of people are scared to ask God for anything. Now they ask Him for salvation. And you know, everything in faith comes from your lips, from your tongue. You have to believe, then you have to ask. Just like your prayers, you believe, then you ask to the Father in Jesus' name. All faith always comes through your tongue. Just the way it is. Well, and even your things that are going to hurt you comes through the same thing, your tongue. You know, if you're saying things that could curse yourself, you know, you're broke, poor, or sick, you know, all the other things the devil tries. That's why words hurt other people so much, is because there's power in your words. And I hope we get to share about that a little bit tonight. All right. Ephesians 3:20. This is the Amplified. It's up here on the behind me if you don't have the Amplified. Now to him who by consequence of the action of his power that is at work within us is able to carry out his purpose and to do superabundantly far over and above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. To him be the glory in church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. So be it. God bless you. So he wants to do, his dreams are more than your dreams. God's dreams are bigger than your dreams. He wants to be a blessing more than you want to be a blessing. You know, Satan's got his storage places where he holds onto it and does demonic things, whether it be porn or, you know, things in Hollywood or whatever that goes on. Well, God's got his storages that people will go out and preach the gospel over here. They'll fly in and bring in food and water and Bibles and preach the good news, and they'll have the mercy ships, you know, big ships that are been, you know, they're operating, they're paid for by through the body of Christ, and God's using them, and they're the people in different nations come in there and get dental work. They'll staff them with, you know, different dentists that give their time to that, or nurses for other things. You know, God uses many different things to be a blessing to his children, praise God. And even not the non-believer, God even, you know, you look in different places in the world, and you bring the good news, and you bring food, and you bring water, and people come, they want to hear the good news, because some of them don't have Berkshire's down the street that's full of groceries and everything else. It's why this nation's so blessed, because of 200 years of following Jesus Christ, because that all our forefathers made the Lord. They wanted to get away from Britain's rule and reign, and wanted to have religious freedoms, and here we are, praise God, because they wanted to get away from that, and God made sure it got done. In fact, he's using America to bring in the fulfillment of the Gentiles. You know, the last days, God said before he comes back, Jesus comes back, it'll be the fulfillment of the Gentiles, and this nation's been doing it. God, we've been going around the world preaching the gospel for the last 200 years, and people are getting saved left and right, and it's amazing. All right, I'm going to go to the Message. It's going to be behind me. The Message in the same verses. God can do anything, you know, far above, more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us. His Spirit deeply and gently within us. Glory to God in the church. Glory to God in the Messiah, in Jesus. Glory down in all the generations. Glory through all the millennial. Oh, yes. Praise God. You know, God, it said God can do anything. It takes our faith. Our faith is what moves the hand of God. God's will is to establish his covenant in our generation, in each and every one of us here. He wants to establish his covenant in our generations. He wants us to be that light and be that blessing. And he'll use us for that, those different things. Not only we have our gifts and callings that each and every one of us have, but, you know, he'll use us in many different ways to be that blessing. All right? We got to keep putting those angels to work through our confessions, what we believe for. Let's look over Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20, please. This is the New King James. 4:20-23. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. So in order to have your issues of life that are springing out of you from the Holy Spirit, you're having to put your eyes on the Word. It said first to give attention to His words. You know, that's one thing I do and try to every morning. And to speak the Word, confess His promises, to read His Word, pray, do those things I need to do. I'm not going to let them depart from my mouth and my eyes. I'm going to keep saying, my God supplies all my needs according to His rich and glory by Christ Jesus. I'm blessed coming in. I'm blessed going out. I'm going to speak the Word of God. You know, I'm the head, not the tail. And, you know, He'll never leave me nor forsake me. The promises of God, that's what I'm going to be speaking. That's what I'm going to keep in my eyes. Because they're life to me. They're health to my bones and my body. You know, I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. That's another one of His promises. And in verse 23, it said, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of your life. So if you're putting in the Word in through your ears, you're hearing it, and your mouth, you're speaking it, and your eyes, you're seeing it, guess what? It's in your heart. It's in your, the Holy Spirit's in there with your spirit. It's in your heart. And that's what's going to spring out. It's going to be health to your whole life. It'll be a blessing to your whole life. It's just like out in front of a hotel or something, you see that big water fountain that springs, flows forth. Well, that's kind of like how what the Word of God does. Well, and it can work in the opposite. If all you watch is TV news and everything else, well, guess what? You're taking it in through your ears. And you're saying it through your mouth, and you're washing it through your eyes. And guess what? Your heart gets full of it. Your heart will get full of it. And guess what's going to come out? Yeah, that stuff's going to come out of you. And it's not good for us, because when we need Jesus in the time of an emergency, especially like one time I was actually going too fast when I used to drive for a Jackson Oil Company in Mount Pleasant hauling gasoline. I had 8,500 gallons of gasoline on. I loaded up in Tyler, and I was coming down that little road outside Tyler getting on the loop, and it was raining pretty gently, not real hard, but that road was slick. The rocks were wore off, and there's a railroad crossing. I'm supposed to stop because I'm hazardous material, and I hit the brakes, and next thing my trailer's coming around the side, and I'm calling out, Jesus, that was inside of me, because I was dependent on Jesus to help me. And sure enough, praise God, that supernaturally, that trailer straightened up and then went on through there and didn't have any problem. But I thank God the Word was in me. Let's look at one more on what God says about the Word inside of you. Matthew chapter 12, verse 33 through 37. Now Jesus is talking to the Pharisees and the high priest and those that weren't doing the Word. They were just being real religious. They weren't helping the people. They were actually taking widows' houses. They were being bad. They were really stealing from the people. These Pharisees and everything. So Jesus gets kind of rough with them right here on 33. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? See what he's saying? How can they speak good things when there's evil inside of them? Because that's all they put in them. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart, your spirit man, brings forth good things. An evil man out of his evil treasures brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. That's how important words are. Our words. You know, God's telling us, watch your words. Watch what you're saying. Say the Word. You know, that's why I'm trying to put the Word first thing, first place in my mouth. I'm saying his confessions. All right, we're going to close up with Psalms 89 because we have a play tonight. going to shut it down a little bit early. Psalms 89, verse 34. Psalms 89, verse 34. My covenant I will not break, nor alter the word that has gone out of my lips. Now, what if we were like that? What if we were like God? We might want to change our words real quick, wouldn't we? My covenant I will not break, nor alter the words that have gone out of my lips. That's how much emphasis God puts on his own words. He's not going to break his own word. Man can be a liar, but let God be true, because he's going to hold his words. That's why you look at and you sit there and you're like, why is this suffering? Why is this things that are happening here in the world and everything that's going on? A lot of people don't understand that back in Garden Eden, when Adam and Eve trespassed against God and they ate that fruit and against the commandment, that God had already given Adam all dominion and authority here. He was even naming the animals. He had all dominion and authority. And when Satan snuck in, he took his authority away because he tricked Eve. Now, Adam did it openly. He wanted to go with his wife, so he ate the fruit too. He shouldn't have done it, but he did. And then that's when sin came in, and the authority was given to Satan. And when that came in, the curse came in, and all sickness and all this thing. You see little kids that have problems and everything else. You see what's going on. No, this is in heaven. It's blessed and healed and doing great. But the good news is, through his covenant, this Abrahamic covenant, God, if you trusted God, you could be healed and made whole. I mean, and now we even have a better covenant, it says, with Jesus Christ. Like I said, I've been healed twice. Once in my back, and once in my stomach, my colon. And I actually had 13 x-rays where they took x-rays of that back in 2003. And it was leaking bile. It broke open. And my wife and I, Monica, prayed. And sure enough, that night I fell asleep. Next day I felt great. The whites of my eyes that were yellow went back white. I wasn't sweating like wild. I was healed. Felt great. You know, I've been, like I said, I've supernaturally been healed twice in my back, same thing. And his promises are for us. His blessings for us. This covenant is for us. It's the covenant of God for his children. All right. Praise God. Let me go ahead and pray. Father God, I just thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, let this word go deep in each and every one of our hearts. Lord, that we remember our covenant with you. And our covenant with you, Lord. That through this Abrahamic covenant, that you made him the father of many nations, that he become the father of faith, that, hey, we become blessed. And now we even have a better covenant, and that's through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We're born again. The devil's been put under our feet. And we have the authority back over the devil given to us through Jesus Christ. He helped got the authority back for us so we could rule and reign over the devil and have a blessed life. And Lord, we just thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, for using each and every one of us to be that blessing, Lord. So if there's anybody here that if you don't know Jesus according to your word, the word of God, according to Romans 10:9-10, if you believe that Jesus died on the cross and was raised back to the right hand side of the Father, and you ask him in, you shall be saved. Or you may not be where you want to be. You're backslidden. You want to say, hey, I want to get on fire for Jesus again. You might want to what the word says over in Luke 11:13. If you ask the Father to fill you up with his Holy Spirit and give you that a new fire and a hunger for Jesus. If that's what you want, then you can raise your hand. You can raise your hand and get a new fire and a hunger for Jesus like never before and rededicate your life if that's what you want. You can praise God. And anybody that's listening by CD or on you're happening to listen to us on the website and you say, hey, I want this. I want this new fire. Well, I just ask you to pray with me. And if you want Jesus, you never had him, then you can pray with me. So just follow along with me if you hear this CD and this is what you want. Jesus, be the Lord of my life. Come in my heart. Save me. Use me. Fill me up with your Holy Spirit. Let me live for you all the days of my life. Lord, just show me your will for my life and let me do it, Lord, and help me do it. And give me revelation knowledge of your word. Let me go forth in Jesus' name. Now, if you've heard that, I mean, you prayed that prayer and you're at home and you heard this CD, or if you heard it on the website, voiceofbelieverschurch.org website, well, you need to tell somebody. You need to tell a friend, or tell to go to a pastor or wherever you are. Go to somebody and get in a local church and get strong in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, Father God, I just thank you, Lord, for everyone that's here and everyone that's listening through the different media outlets. Lord, I say each and every one of us, we're all the head, not the tail. We're the lender, not the borrow. We're blessed coming in, blessed going out, blessing the city, blessing the field. When Satan comes at us one direction, he'll have to flee from a seven, because he is in us. The Holy Spirit is greater than he that's in this world. We can do all things through Christ's strength. Nothing deadly will hurt us. No weapon formed against us shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against us in judgment shall be condemned. We owe no man anything except to love one another. Our God supplies all our needs according to his rich and glory by Christ Jesus. We give, and it shall be given to us. Give measure pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall mean given to our bosom. For the same measure we meet with all shall be measured to us again. Beloved, I pray above all things that thou mayest prosper, be in health, even as thy soul prospers. Though 1,000 fall at one side, 10,000 the right hand, nothing deadly will come near us. No plague or disease will come near our dwelling. With a long life you satisfy us. Thank you, Lord, for a long life. Lord, we take every thought captive under obedience to Jesus Christ. Any thought that exalts itself against Jesus, we just cast them down and rebuke them. Thoughts of doubt, fear, worry, unbelief, depression, discouragement, heaviness, anything. All those works of the devil. Did we say, nope, rebuke you, get out of our mind. We plead the blood of Jesus over our mind. We're going to think on the word. We're going to think on your victory, what you did for us, Jesus. Lord, give us revelation, knowledge of your word. Just bring us those people that don't know you, Jesus, that we can lead them to you, Lord, that we can have a special way that we can interact with them, that we can lead them towards you, Jesus. Tell them the good news about you and what you've done, Lord, and we thank you for it. And those that do know you, but don't have a real close relationship with you, Jesus, we can explain to them your promises and how you've blessed us and all the good things that you've done for us. And we can teach them how to get closer to you, Lord. We thank you for it in Jesus. Or you can get with me after the, did I turn it back on? Did I turn it off?